All right. Looks like I need to move Corey down there a bit.
You need to readjust me.
There we go.
Oh yeah. You can see my pants.
There they are, right there. I can show those pants all I want.
Well, they are. Well,
all right.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we missed a week, which you kind of missed your opportunity to stream. But you begged me to stream this week.
Well, because I'm going to be streaming next week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be hosting next week at least.
Yeah. But
so here it is, our last live stream of the year.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't make a mistake here. I don't know how much interest there is in Splatoon 2 here, but I got a Nintendo eShop card for Christmas, and I decided to get the Octo expansion. Sandy, I know the TV is very exciting, but don't put your nose on it. I like the single player content in Splatoon a lot. I mean the multiplayer's fun too, but I don't play multiplayer heavily, obviously. I seem to be about halfway through the campaign.
Well,
at least to beat it. So
yeah, so we just wanted to do something kind of casual for tonight. We've been working kind of tirelessly these last couple of days on the games that we played in 2018 video that we can release tomorrow.
Which should not be an episode. I mean, the whole point of those episodes is to end the year with an episode that we do not have to work tirelessly on.
Yeah, it hasn't been crazy or anything like that. It's just the fact that
it's just,
we've had other obligations that have taken up the time and made it difficult to find time to work on it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost done, and we're not sleeping until it's done. So
yeah. I mean,
it should be up in the morning, unless, barring some sort of render catastrophe or something.
Yeah. I don't think that there's going to be one. Yeah. Last year we did this, we released it on the 31st last year as well. I really wanted to release it today, but it didn't happen. The last year we did it, it was about, I think it was 23 minutes, and somehow this is almost twice as long, which is not exactly what I expected to happen, but it's right around 45 to 46 minutes. We got to get a handle on this stuff.
Yeah. I've got this plan that I want to, like, whenever I beat a game in 2019, I want to make just like a very casual, very simple, not crazy mini look at it, something for Patreon. And then that way I can just sort of redo that, use the same footage and everything for the end of year video. And it will be the casual, easy thing that it is meant to be. But remember, it's the games we played. It doesn't necessarily mean they came out in 2018.
They could have come out
many years before 2018. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's some 1993s on there.
Yeah, just it's just a way for us to look at some games that we have semi-fresh on our minds.
Yeah, and we only really spend, like maybe a minute and a half per game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the longest is probably like 3 minutes maybe on a game or two.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm going to...
Although there's a happy birthday from Retro Morgan.
Oh.
I turned the ripe old age of 40 this past week. I am 40 years old. I'm officially middle aged now? Is that how it works?
There was a time a couple of years ago that it really weirded me out that, like, my friends were turning 40. And now it's like happened enough times that it's worryingly normal.
Yeah, it is crazy. My mom for Christmas got me this Columbia vest, like a fleece vest, and that's not something that I would wear. I'm not a vest kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But my father-in-law says to me, he's like, you know why she got that for you, right? I'm like, no. He's like, because you're in your 40s now. So it's apparently wearing vests is what 40-year-olds or people in their 40s and older do. So,
So normally to access the single player campaign, you go down this sewer here. That's the base campaign.
Is there no game audio? Northern Sequence is saying there's no game audio.
That is probably accurate because we are frazzled and distracted.
Yeah.
There's not much audio in this area anyway. And it gets pretty loud once you get into the missions. So let me know if the balance is out of whack. I mean, there's just ambient sound out here. But to go to the expansion, you go down here. And you play as an Octoling here. And the levels are tougher. They are tougher.
I've never played a Splatoon game.
They're kind of like, I mean, it's weird because it's Nintendo doing essentially first-person shooters in a very Nintendo way. So, basically it's kind of weird how you unlock things. So you're on this subway somewhere underground and you don't know where you are, and you, have to go down these paths, subway train paths that, you know, you find connections that go on different routes, and you're looking for somewhere on this map for things that I have to collect to beat the expansion story. And there was one here on that hub, and then there was one here. So I'm just going to have to start guessing where the others might be. So some of these missions are pretty tough. So,
all right. Well, chat was wondering how old you are. You're 34, right?
Yeah,
34. Okay. And the day after my birthday is John Lennon's birthday. Did you know that his birthday is the day after mine? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, but that's the same day as my mom's birthday.
Oh, okay. Speaking of John will be joining us for the stream next Sunday. We're going to be doing our yearly version comparison. We're not sure exactly what we're going to do yet. We have several ideas, but we're not positive what it's going to be yet. But he'll be joining me in person. Right in that couch back there, and we'll be playing something or two things.
Oh gosh. So these are a lot of these are like very specialized sorts of challenges. So I'm gonna have to. Basically, I'm playing pool here with a shotgun.
Interesting. That's kind of cool. But I mean, if anybody has anything, what do you think that we should play?
Gosh. I really have no idea.
The first year we did Castlevania, and then last year we did Sonic Adventure. So I guess it's important to... I don't know, just do something that's pretty... that people enjoy, at least not like something obscure. And things that like have a pretty sizable difference between them, I guess. Phantasy on Star on Switch. There's no real comparison. I don't have Red Dead Redemption 2. That would be an option. Plus, I don't have a PlayStation 4 Pro either. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, we'll come up with something. I mean, the more modern things are usually a bit more fun. Lunar One and Sega CD would be fun, but I don't think we'd be able to make very much progress during a stream. Like, an RPG would be too difficult. Smash? I don't even have everybody unlocked on it. Like, I haven't played it very much.
I didn't even know that you had played it at all.
I mean, sometimes I'll just play some classic modes and unlock some.
I haven't even started, like, the new classic mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand it's pretty long.
Yeah, I heard it's like 40 hours or something. I don't have any interest in that, really. Mega Man 11 would be fun, but there's not like a... I don't have any way to play like 4K versus...
I feel like the differences for that, especially on a stream, wouldn't be that pronounced anyway.
You know, it might be fun, though. I don't have a PS4 Pro, though. Like Shadow of the Colossus would be kind of fun. Like PS2 versus PS4.
Mm.
But I don't have a Pro, so that would be... a bit difficult. I've never played Shockman for the TurboGrafx. I may have seen it, but I've never played it.
I haven't. I mean, I've got Shabibin Man.
Shabubin Man.
Ah, was so close.
Spyro would be fun. I don't have it. And the fact that it doesn't have the entire game on the disc
kind of makes you not want it at all.
Yeah, it just kind of makes me not want it. Symphony of Night, we already did. We did that the first year. Saturn versus PlayStation. That was pretty fun.
Oh, that was lousy.
Let's see. What are some other options? Well. Shenmue might be kind of fun. I'm going to do HD versus the original.
Do you think you could play far enough in to really
maybe.
See anything?
I mean, John probably knows it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably tell you how to get through it rather quickly, I imagine.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll come up with something. Jet Force Gemini, like N64 versus Rare Replay. That could be fun.
That would be more fun with me, probably.
Yes.
I mean, John might know that game well, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know that game that well myself, though I do like it.
But maybe something like, maybe like Banjo would be fun. Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, that'd be a game that you could...
I've never played Banjo.
That's a game that you could do a lot with relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm. That could be a fun
one. So
did
close.
You almost had it?
Yeah. This is kind of a weird mission to have ended up doing for my first, but...
Space Harrier, we could do like the remake versus the original, but yeah, it's not really worth it. Elky Plays and Paints is saying, don't do fully charged shots all the time. You don't always need them.
Ah. It's hard to really gauge, though.
I don't understand how this video ended up to be 45 minutes. It's crazy.
Like, you must have longer segments than me.
No, I mean, each segment is between four to, I think my longest, I do have 1 7-minute segment. And that's it. But I mean, the script is only like 4 pages longer than last year. I don't understand how this even happened. I don't know. But hopefully I won't be up too late. I really just want to kind of relax and enjoy New Year's Eve, I guess, tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean,
the thing is, you know, like, it's been kind of neat because a lot of people have been asking if we're going to do another video like this, and that's pretty cool. I mean, the last one wasn't that popular. I mean, I'm not expecting this to be that popular either. It's just kind of a fun thing to do, I guess, before we get back to real work in the new year. Yeah, Valus is in there.
You bet it is. That was a great game. That was one of the games I mean, I don't talk about for very long in the video at all. Like, most of the games in the video I don't talk about for very long, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Like, some of them is paragraphs. Almost like so short. We put up a little graphic that says like the name of the game and developer and how it's recorded and all that stuff. But it's
some of them is so.
Some of it's so short that it's like, why did I bother? This might be weird, but let's see.
Oh, Metal Gear 1 versus Twin Snakes might be fun, too.
Oh, that's... I'm kind of into that idea.
Yeah. Because I think we just talked about that.
You gotta be kidding.
Recently, too.
Why does that happen sometimes? What? Oh, okay, then.
Well, the thing is, like, it's not really scriptable, I don't feel like. We don't talk about any game for longer than a minute and a half. I think it moves pretty quickly. But, I don't know. Unless I'm incorrect in the runtime. Which, I guess, wouldn't be unheard of.
I mean... It'd be nice in this case, potentially. But hopefully people enjoy it.
So is your holiday pretty good? Enjoy
some
relaxing downtime.
I don't know if there is Scott Davis in the house, but you know, last week last stream anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still alive. He asked about projectors,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of reignited. Fire in me that I'd had ever since my parents moved to their current house, because there's a room there that has no windows, and I always wanted to try a projector in there. And I'd recently seen at The Grid, which is a local Goodwill operated store that specializes in old games and electronics. Oh man, that hit way too hard. Anyway, and so I got one that, you know, for pretty cheap, that seems to, Seems to have been like maybe kind of a mid-range-ish model. Oh, like mid-range home theater in particular. From maybe like 2007. I mean, for is someone who, you know, does not have much projector experience. I think it looks pretty great. I played like over my break, I played like 20 hours of Dragon Quest 11 on it.
And just to kind of get a feeling for it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, what was interesting is, I mean, it's only a 720p projector, which I mean is understandable for the time. But it's, I don't know, there's something about, I mean, and part of it could have been Dragon Quest art style. You know, I could have been playing Dragon Quest 11 in 4K. I mean, it's not native 4K, but I mean, I could have been, you know, playing it on my TV here, but I didn't feel like I was missing much. Something about it just looked really clean. It was just fun seeing the bigger picture, I guess, you know? So it was pretty cool. So anyway, I mean, an episode on projectors might be a ways off, but I just thought need to get started, you know?
Oh yeah, it's worth it. It seemed like you got a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean, for its time. I mean, I think the idea behind the episode will be more like, you know, can you get started with gaming on projectors without spending a lot of money?
Right.
Like that, you know, it's not really going to be about, you know, high end and all those considerations that might go with that. So anyway, I think that will be, that'll be fun.
Yeah. I do wonder if, so when you streamed in the backlog, did you play Smash Online like with the community?
Yeah. I think they've made some revisions to how online works though. It was a pretty crappy system at the time. So we ended up actually mostly playing offline.
Oh, really? You can't just set up a room and have people kind of come and go?
Well, with local people, it kind of sucked. Because you used to be able to play online with more than one person. Well, to be honest, I can't quite remember. You in some earlier game, you could take local friends online with you. Although, whether you could do that in friend matches, I can't remember for sure. You can do it only in random matches, or at least at the time we played, that's how it was, and it was really stupid.
I'm just saying, like, if you get stuck on this, maybe we should just like set up a room.
I can pick any level that I want.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm so close that I'm determined to do this. I mean, there's a bunch of, I mean, any level that I've gained access to.
Okay.
So, and I have like just given up on levels eventually, but I don't think I'll have to. That's what I say.
We should definitely do a stream.
Oh yeah. We should do a Smash stream sometime. You should unlock more characters though. Cause I don't think you can unlock characters with online play.
Oh, really?
I don't think it works.
How many characters have you unlocked?
A decent handful. If I run out of lives, I'm not going to continue the level. Like, see that point counter in the upper right?
Yeah.
You have to spend a certain number of points to play each mission. So, like it you know, there is some cost and risk to retrying missions when you run out of lives.
Because
you don't want to run out of points, obviously.
Cameron Kurtz is saying, unlocking players in Smash is faster online than in light mode. Is that... Well, so you can unlock characters in online?
Oh, well, I think he's talking about the... I don't remember what the mode is called. Whatever.
That's like the World of Light.
World of Light or whatever, yeah. I have not started that, so I don't really know what the process is there, but...
Unless it's just a joke. He's just saying that it takes so long.
Well, I mean, in offline play, you encounter characters all the time, but the problem with online is that you can't fight a character when you're online. Like, it might have a character approach when you back out, but it didn't happen when we did it, which was kind of annoying. I've got this.
You do it?
Yep.
I heard music. There it is.
So what I'm trying to do is, on the other side of this next level, there's a branching point, so it would take me to another path. So I'm just trying to find out where the rest of the things are.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a weird level. But in the normal single player, the missions are generally kind of this is another sniper level. I'm not really a big fan of the sniper guns. I mean, they're kind of fun, but I mean, I'm not good with them.
So this last year, you talk about how you played a bunch of that you wanted to play every month, do a playthrough of Castlevania.
Yes.
And you succeeded to varying degrees. But have you thought about if you're going to do it again this year for something else?
I'd like to, if I can think of the right game.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't figured out yet.
Would it be another NES game?
Very likely. Just, you know, that's my bias / preference, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Well, I didn't really succeed this past year. I tried with UN Squadron and it just didn't happen. So maybe I'll pick like a Genesis game or something.
Oh, that was... I mean, I would like doing like a Contra game maybe, although like I feel like all of them except for like the first would take me a while to work up to the point that I could reliably beat most of those.
I think we both have Kid Dracula. We have the Famicom version.
Yeah.
At least I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe a good one. But it's not a Castlevania.
I would like to sort of, I guess, master the original Contra a little more, but I feel like I'm already pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need to play that 12 times, really.
Dale Grady is saying that he'd love to see us do a revisit of playing Nintendo DS games. GC Video versus Woozles. Okay.
You mean GBA?
Yeah, it says NDS, but I'm assuming he meant to put GBA. Like GC Video versus Woozles console at GBA. And you have one, don't you?
I do. I haven't tested it yet.
There's just been no time. You got it really close to the holiday, and
yeah. Well, and I got it, like, when I was messing with all that GameCube stuff, so.
Right.
Is there another Switch somewhere? Or does that one not count as hit? But yeah, I think probably kind of close to the official launch of the Woozle thing, I might do it. I was thinking about doing it really soon, but Bob kind of encouraged me to wait until
like a firmware
some
update.
Firmware.
Right?
To be honest, I haven't even looked into what the specific updates even are.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that there's some. He said there's some things that he thinks are going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited just to see it in person too.
Have you, you haven't had a chance to try the high fidelity GBI yet, have you?
I haven't. There's like a number of things that I need to do. As soon as I finish with this episode, I can, once this goes up, I can focus on that. It's important for us to do some simpler, not as long episodes.
Oh, I agree.
Next year too, more often. But not like short, like not like mini type things, but just
no, just things that won't consume us.
Exactly. That's the Jeff O is wondering if anyone can film in the new Soldier Boy console, and. Like, I don't know if you followed it at all. Like, you're not really sure who he is, but he is like a rapper.
I guess as much.
Yeah, and he like was selling these Chinese consoles, and everybody on YouTube was talking about it, and a lot of these systems had pirated Nintendo games on.
Uh-huh.
And he was basically saying, like, Nintendo's not going to do anything. They can go F themselves and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then...
They did?
And then yesterday, he tweeted something saying, like, I had the boss up, I think is what he said. And then all the Soldier Boy consoles were removed from his website. And today, if you go to the Soulja Boy console website, it takes you directly to Nintendo's website. I don't know, like that struck me as like being really funny.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, Red Racer, that is the extent that you will ever find us talking about Soulja Boy. I just thought it was funny that it just doesn't say anything, and then the website just goes directly to Nintendo's site.
Sandy, I can't play games like that. I'm sorry.
Oh, he deleted a tweet saying he wasn't scared of Nintendo suing him.
Well, Nintendo's not scared of suing them.
Sorry, my heater just came on.
Like, why did he even bother with that? Like, it sounds like that just sounds like a waste of your time. Like, making such a thing.
Well, all he was doing was just buying, like Chinese, like, knockoff consoles and putting his name on.
Right.
I mean, it probably made him some money at first, but then he started talking all big like that, and then it...
Well, I mean, how long were they even around before they started becoming this, like, YouTube joke?
Oh, I mean, they were a joke. Like, people were making videos of them pretty much constantly these last 3 weeks, I think.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, how long were they around before that?
They weren't. Like,
people okay, so people videos. Caught on to it pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was 3 weeks it took. He was talking about how he's going to open a store, sell mats, and all this other stuff.
At least levels like this have checkpoints.
But either way, you know, it's not something that I had a lot of interest in.
No, there's literally no reason for us to ever. I don't think anyone would actually seriously thinks we would, but...
Yeah, I mean, it might have been funny at some point to do, like, an RGB episode on it, or something like that, but I think that it's not... That's not really our style. We're not really a current events kind of...
No. You know,
unless it's something
unless
that
the current events sense. Are about old things.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't have a lot of interest for us. We did talk about the Wu-Tang controller, but the Wu-Tang controller came out in 2000 or 1999. So I guess we'll talk about the Soulja Boy console in.
I saw the Wu-Tang game
about 20 years.
I saw the Wu-Tang game at a store.
You should have bought it. Oh, we got a $4.99 donation from Scott Davis.
Hey, Scott Davis. Did you... go on.
He says, hey, fellas, heading to Tokyo, Kyoto, Seoul in March. Any video game-related stuff you can recommend? Shops, arcades, or landmarks?
I mean, there's lots of places in Akihabara, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Mandarake, there's Friends. Of course, they're kind of tough to... It's kind of tough to navigate all the stores without help because, you know, most of the stores are not written in English. Trader was great. That was written in English.
Yeah. Yeah, Mikado is an awesome arcade. That's like the main arcade that...
We briefly stopped in a Taito arcade.
Hey, I remember them.
Yeah. But Scott, I don't know if you were here just a bit ago, but I was talking about how I I bought an old 2007 projector. With HD and for some reason a D terminal input. For some reason. And I played about 20 hours of Dragon Quest XI on at my parents' house over my break. So it's a start. It's a start. I wouldn't say there's gonna be a Projectors episode anytime soon, but it's a start.
planted the seed.
Yeah. Yeah. You reinvigorated a desire I'd had a long time ago, which was to set up a projector at my parents' house in this room with no windows. So it was fun. I mean, for what it was, I thought it worked pretty well. And I've even tested the OSSC on it, and it plays Super Nintendo 3X, 4X, 5X. So that's pretty amazing.
Which you were not expecting at all. It exceeded expectations.
Yeah. So anyway, that kind of answers the question you had last time. You know, will there be a projector episode? Well, now that you planted that seed again, maybe so. But it might be a little while. You know, I'd like to try a few other like cheap older projectors, and maybe, you know, maybe something a little more recent. Oh, hey, how about that?
We got a $15 donation from Ono. Honorian, Honorian. I'm trying.
Honorian.
Who says happy holidays, guys? Want to say thank you for your passion and quality content of this marvelous hobby. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. This next level is called Slap Bracelet Station. You remember those?
Oh yeah, like this the bracelet that it's like a straight thing. It goes around. Yeah, my daughter had.
Oh, there's still a thing?
There's still a thing.
I had no clue. I had no clue. I mean, I remember those being the cool thing in elementary school.
Yeah. Believe it or not, my daughter actually makes a little appearance in tomorrow's episode.
Yeah.
A little speaking part. Only for about 7 seconds. Just says like three words, but that's okay.
What did I say about my sub?
Make good use of both your sub and main weapons.
Okay. Oh gosh. What am I supposed to do here? Oh, I see. Oh, that's tricky.
I have some Street Fighter 2 Pogs that I got at the Consumer Electronics Show in 1993. I wonder if they're like even worth anything, if they're like a rare thing. Yeah, you've not missed the episode with your Ikigami in it. It's gonna be like a mini doc.
Yeah, we should semi prioritize that for.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be like I think after this new year, like I'm gonna be. I think that's not even something that would be that hard. So I think that.
Oh no, it won't.
I'm gonna prioritize doing that. I mean, I'm gonna do that like. As a kind of like ongoing thing. I'm going to do that more often, where I'm going to be working on things in the evenings that maybe won't take as long. I can, our dream, and we talk about this every time, like have episodes banked. We like to call them banking. So we have them banked so they're like done, and it gives us some extra time to work on like the longer episodes without feeling pressured.
I don't understand how I'm supposed to time this.
Pogs aren't worth anything. Even Street Fighter 2 Pogs.
I don't understand how I can get back to the...
Can you shoot directly upwards?
Well, I have to have the bomb set over there, and then it unfurls the bridge. But I have to, like... Oh, there we go.
The 3D projector... There's 3D projectors that can do 3D? Or projectors that can do 3D? How does that work?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it...
Scott Davis is saying that Child of Eden on PS3 is a fun tech demo. I love Child of Eden. I like Child of Eden more than I like Rez, which is surely a unpopular opinion.
You know, I really didn't have any interest in Rez, but I really liked Tetris Effect.
Oh, now you're...
I saw... you have a little Rez footage in that Dreamcast Patreon video.
Right.
And, like, I feel like that's the first time I'd ever, like, seen the game in action with the music.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And, I feel like that definitely kind of changed my perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it in that context, because like I saw the way the sound plays is actually very similar to Tetris Effect.
Yeah, I mean you don't need to.
There's no rhythm to it.
Right. It's just the sounds. It make just a more complete music.
Right. The things you do create the music, but you don't have to
do it in any kind of beat or
right
rhythm. Right. Minion Man is saying you can hold the charge while swimming in ink.
Oh, good to know. I just realized that, like, just like tapping the button is, if I need to shoot something up close, that'll work. I'm not too used to using the sniper rifles.
Mitch B is saying that Child of Eden in 3D is impressive, but it's no Rez. I think that I like Child of Eden more just because I like the music more. And I think that one of the reasons I like the Area X in Rez Infinite is that the music is more Child of Eden-esque. It's a bit poppier. Child of Eden, like, the music is by, you played No More Heroes, right?
I mean, I've seen it streamed, but I have not played it.
Okay. Well, there's, like, this music video in No More Heroes by this group. I don't know if it's just, like, a one-person group, but Genki Rockets. Maybe, like, I think that they're, like, did most of the music in Child of Eden. Right. I mean, Child of Eden is very much the same way, but you don't see it's not, Child of Eden is first person. It's not, you don't see your character. I just like the music more in Child of Eden.
Is there a particular reason Child of Eden is not as popular as Rez?
I think it's mainly because it was
first.
Well, that could have something to do with it, but also the fact that it was, like, Child of Eden was mainly pitched to the public as, like, a Kinect or Move game.
Uh-huh. Ah. Have you played it with a Move?
I haven't. I've always wanted to, and I just got the 360 version because I found a real cheap Kinect at Goodwill, like actual camera.
I had a chance to store get one. They were like $5 each, and I don't know if that's a common price for them, but I always kind of regretted not getting that.
Yeah. Culture Junkie, like, the Area 4 is the best part of Rez. I mean, the last track in that level was always kind of renowned, and like people said, oh, you got to play it because you got to play Area 4, and Area 4 is really incredible. Like, it is the best part of the game, and the reason. Austin 532 says, and which is a correct way to put it as well, is that Rez is basically like a musical Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah,
oh, I mean, Area 5. Yes, sorry. It is Area 5.
I definitely want to play it a lot more than I did before.
Yeah. But if you want to play it, I mean, you can get the PS2 version, or you can just... You can play it. You can get Res Infinite in VR, which is cool.
Said the VR mode made you sick.
It made me motions. It gave me motion sickness.
Can you play that not in VR?
Yes. But if it's not like fully patched, I mean, there's obviously patches. But if you want like a, you can also get the cubed for the 360 that has Res HD on it, which is the same thing basically, but without the VR area.
What's wrong with it? It's not fully patched.
Well, it just had updates on it. I'm just saying, like,
I mean, that if you doesn't wanted... necessarily bother me as much as it bothers you.
Right. I mean, it doesn't bother me a ton either.
But... I'd still rather get like the best version.
Yeah, and then Infinite is the way to go. I don't know if IM8-Bit still has physical copies of it. Do you think a standard 14-inch CRT TV is too small to play GameCube on? No. I don't think any TV is too small to play anything.
I mean, 9-inch would be pretty small.
Yeah, but you can still play something on it.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't make it my go-to, but
yeah,
I'd survive.
Yeah, Jesus Castillo in the chat saying, "Hey guys, big fan of the video. Thanks."
Thank you. This is rather puzzling. I don't see any way I would be able to reach that platform there.
Yeah, the IM8-Bit version is worth it. I know it was kind of a learning experience. That was their first physical release, and the shipping was really high, and it was kind of expensive. There we go. Oh, yeah, camcorder, viewfinder, CRT is too small, for sure. But I think it'd be kind of funny. Yeah, the IM8-Bit release was very botched. That's why I feel like it's almost better to get the cubed version. And that has other Mizuguchi games on it too.
Oh, so that's a limited release thing anyway.
The Infinite? It was from IM8-Bit.
I remember that now. Oh, there's the next thing I gotta get. Or as they call them in the game, one of the four things.
Things.
I have to collect the four things. The legendary things.
There's a mod to make my Xbox One smaller. I'm into it. Yeah, there is. It's called the Xbox One X. there's a system for those people. They're looking for something like that. The Xbox One X is so much smaller than the original Xbox. It's kind of silly. You know what? The next stream that I'm gonna stream after John's, mm-hmm. after John's here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play Super Lucky's Tale.
Ah.
I've been really wanting to play that for a while.
Yeah, native 4K 60.
Yeah.
At least I think I'm pretty sure it's 60. Oh, is this one of the monkey ball type things?
So I'm also continuing playing Fist of the North Star, which is awesome, by the way. I was going to include it in this video, but it is already too long, so I'm just going to leave it out.
I mean, there's a lot of good games I would have liked to have included in this video. I mean, you know, for a year that I probably had the most worst backlog progress ever. I sure had a lot of games to talk about. I mean, somehow over the course of the year, I beat like around 40 games, and I don't even know what I'm saying, because it felt like I never had time.
I beat 22 games.
That's not bad. I mean, that's almost averaging 2 a month.
And I beat 36 last year. Oh, look at that, though. So, you know how Backlogger has the progress
index?
Yeah, the progress breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, my progress index, the end of the year, was -173.
Mm.
Do you want to know what it was this year? I did better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to take a guess?
-140.
Nope. -172.
But you know, there's
as long as I don't buy anything tomorrow,
there's still time to do worse if you really wanted to go that route.
Well, the thing is I got that Quantic Dream collection, so
you could. Oh no,
I haven't added.
Oh, whew, that was very close.
Detroit and Beyond Two Souls yet.
So you might technically.
Well, no, I'll be in the hole one.
Oh.
Unless I beat something tomorrow. To tie it.
Well,
I really want to play Detroit, though. I mean, I was really watching some stuff on it recently, and I'm very interested in playing it. Yeah, and I didn't even know that the Quantic Dream Collection was a thing.
And all those games were already on PS4.
Right, but I didn't. I know that
it's not all on one disc, is it?
No, it's on three discs.
Well, yeah. So I mean, I guess what I mean is those discs were already available for PS4.
Not in the U.S.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah. They were download. Beyond and Heavy Rain were download only in the U.S. You could get a European version of those.
Can you get that collection without getting Detroit? Because I already bought Detroit.
You cannot. They even have the not for resale on the barcode.
Oh man, this is going to be one of those tower levels again. I didn't like that level before.
So is... okay, so the European is two discs then. Yeah, because they're like 45 gigs. But I didn't play Beyond at all. But Detroit looks really, really cool. I wonder how long Detroit is.
I don't know.
And I didn't have the PS3 version of it. I've beaten Heavy Rain. Like, I played it when it came out. But I got rid of it. So I'm happy to have a new version of it.
Yeah, I don't think I have Heavy Rain anymore.
I mean, once you know the twist, there's very little reason to play it.
I know, and I hate the twist.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily because it narratively makes no sense. I mean, I guess narratively it's fine, but I don't like it. It makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in Detroit. It looks like Detroit can go a lot more directions. Speaking of which, though, have you tried the Netflix interactive Black Mirror game?
I haven't.
So you know what it is, right?
No. I heard that it exists, but I mean, I haven't watched Black Mirror at all. I don't really know much about it.
Okay. Well, Black Mirror, it's Black Mirror is an anthology. Every episode is something different.
It's like, it's kind of like a,
it's an anthology. Twilight Zone type thing, right? Yes. Yes, but it's very, very good, and each one, they're all kind of related to technology and kind of...
But basically, you can just watch an episode here and there, and it doesn't matter.
And you don't have to watch them in any...
order.
Right. So this new one is called Bandersnatch, and it is it's basically a choose-your-own-adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can interact with it in a way that you choose your own adventure. And I guess it plays out to, like... Like, there's, like, I have no idea how many endings there are. There's supposed to be just a ton of them.
So, but you play it on Netflix itself.
Yes.
And it's live action?
It's a movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah, you watch it, but then you make all the choices. There's five main endings, I guess.
So how does it branch?
It's all like built into Netflix now, I guess. You just use your remote to choose your different options as they come up. I'm very interested. I've heard it's very well done too. God of War. I definitely want to play God of War. I want to play Spider-Man this year.
I promised myself I was going to play God of War. Because normally I don't spend $60 on AAA stuff anymore, unless it's Nintendo, because Nintendo stuff never goes on sale anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So I was like, okay, as soon as the 4K episode's done, I'm playing God of War. And I never did.
Well, you should prioritize that. And yes. I put everything that I have been playing on my now playing list, so I'm going to move through those. I usually do that at the end of the previous year and the beginning of the next year, where I'm like, okay, so these are the games that I've kind of started and just kind of like slowly move through and have not made any concentrated progress, I'm going to focus on them. Mm-hmm. And usually when that happens, I end up beating them all like really close to each other.
Mm-hmm. I'm like 55 hours into Dragon Quest XI, I think now. So I'm definitely prioritizing that. I think I could be close-ish. But the one thing I don't know is the end game is apparently super substantial, and I don't know how, like, you know, if I really want to do it, like, for the story or something. I don't know. It depends on how satisfied I feel with how the game ends, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited for God of War, though. I mean, I want to play Spider-Man, I think, first.
I don't have Spider-Man. Oh gosh.
And the thing about Spider-Man, you know, I was talking to John about this. The thing that interests me, I say I'm not super interested in open world stuff these days.
Yeah.
The traversal's got to be a lot more fun. The world's really big, and it seems like Spider-Man is all about the traversal.
And John was also saying that that like the missions are like as good as a linear game's mission. You know?
Yes.
Which I always feel like open world games compromise on that stuff. Now I am though really one I really want to play. At this point I'll wait until it's gone down in price for sure, but I do really, and I'll only buy it when I'm going to actually start, unless it's just so cheap. But, I mean, I want to play Red Dead Redemption 2, because that, I generally consider that the first Red Dead Redemption to be my favorite, like, traditional style third person open world game. Like I really liked the first, but because it just, it had the atmosphere and everything to just draw me in. And I loved being in that world, but like the whole, you know, point A to point B to point C, and you aren't really doing anything meaningful along the way. You're just, you know, that kind of open world game. I mean, I'll play them, but I get pretty bored of them.
It's, I've heard that the Red Dead sometimes it's just, it's very so like kind of realistic that it takes well like too long to do just about anything in it.
I mean, I could be into that in theory if it was, you know, the right time and place.
And I don't know. I'll wait until Red Dead maybe gets a Game of the Year edition, which probably won't happen considering that the online, or that I don't think GTA ever did. Did I know there's a version of GTA that has, there's like a premium version that has a bunch of stuff for the online. Does anybody know if that version has all the patches and stuff on disc? Because I was very surprised recently. This might actually interest you. There was a reprint of the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy when the other versions came out.
Oh, the PS4 version got a reprint?
Yes, but it includes everything on the disc. And all the patches and the extra levels and stuff that they released as patches. And you can tell because it has a yellow banner along the top of it. That says includes two new levels. So that...
You were going to get the Xbox One version.
Right.
Which feels kind of wrong.
Right. So maybe that same thing will happen with Spyro. Once it's all done, they'll release a version that has everything on it.
I'm assuming I just have to ink like 50% of this thing. But I'm not sure really what's going on. This gun is like I have to like charge it, and then it like fires like a Gatling gun. So there's kind of a weight. Ink turf and get to the goal.
You gotta ride the clock hand.
But wait, I gotta ride it? Just
saying. You gotta ride it.
It was not what I was expecting. Oh. I was...
Did you say you shot something for Patreon today, or you're going to?
What?
Did you say something about Patreon today?
No. No, I never said anything like that today.
That's funny, dude.
I mean, I said I'd like to do that. What I said was I'd like to, in the future, do more... like the things that we're doing now, like do those course of the year, but I never did anything today. I mean, I wouldn't have done that today when we're working so hard on this episode.
Yeah, I like the first Red Dead as well. But I've had no excitement or interest in two.
I mean, I definitely have interest, but I haven't been excited yet, per se, just because I realize I'm not getting it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what I'm supposed to do. Oh.
I am surprised that you've played so much of this.
What do you mean?
You never really talk about it.
Well, I've played relatively little of the online. I mean, all I've really done is I've beaten the single player and got to level 10 online, which is pitiful. I mean, The single player levels are, you know, kind of clever.
Do you have any New Year's Eve plans?
No. I never do.
Well, I mean, like, if you have, like, any friends over or anything, if you have...
We used to do some backloggery streams sometimes, but, No plans to do that this year.
Well, you know, maybe we can do a bonus stream or something. If the episode comes out and we don't have anything to do, maybe that's something I'll consider. Because... New Year's is definitely not a lot of fun when you have small children.
I mean, New Year's has never been like an important holiday to me.
Yeah, it's always been. When I lived in New York, it was always about that New Year's Day brunch. This is the first year we're not doing the brunch and like on purpose in probably 13 years or something like that.
Well, how do you do it not on purpose?
Well, I mean, there was one year when Don's back was messed up.
You skipped it on purpose.
Well, but I mean, we were trying to do it anyway. And then it was just that day. I was like, let's push it to a different day. And we still pushed it to like a few weeks later. Oh, we got that guy from Legendary Axe in the chat.
Oh man, your game is going to be featured in tomorrow's episode because your game is amazing. Thank you for your amazing game.
It's just that guy from Legendary Axe. And he says it is me, the guy from Legendary Axe. I just think of him sitting there like. And his red loincloth and his flowing red hair.
And he's always glowing, too.
Yeah.
You got a constant glow around your body that just pulses.
Retro Morgan got Legendary Axe for Christmas.
Oh.
You should really put in the time to beat it. It's very fulfilling to beat as far as I've heard.
Yeah, you should. I tried to encourage you to do it on stream.
Right after
I finish, because I'm like, you're going to want to be able to benefit from my tips.
Yeah. Legendary Axe is the most underrated soundtrack of all time. Do you think that's true?
I do say it's a very good soundtrack. Deserves more attention than it gets. So the four things are very clearly parts of a blender. I've got two so far, and I have really no idea what the outcome is going to be.
So my wife, what she got for Christmas is actually kind of awesome. I mean, you don't really cook at home at all, do you?
Not as much as I ought to.
Well, you should look into this, because it's actually really awesome.
Okay.
It's an Instapot.
Okay.
And it's like a pressure cooker.
Okay.
And you can make like entire meals, and it cooks them in like 15 minutes.
Does it take any skill? Can you just dump everything in?
You can dump it in, and then you hit the timer for what you want to do, and you just like let it go. And it is insane. Like we made like fully cooked meatballs yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it was so good. And you can do you can cook like entire chickens, like a rotisserie chicken type deal, and it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's you can't open it because it'll explode when it's like going. It is a pressure cooker, but it cooks with hot air. You could do like a pot roast. You could cook like an entire pot roast and make it real tender and good in like 30 minutes. Like that's something previously you'd have to let it sit in the crock pot all day.
Here's the things we're collecting.
The things?
Yeah. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's going to be a magic bullet blender, probably.
I mean, I'm wondering if it's like an artifact from like human civilization before squids, before sea life took over. But I also wonder if that means that octolings and squidlings are actually really tiny.
That'd be cool. Inspire is great for pulled pork. Yep, I think that's something I would like to try, and it's kind of has me more interested in cooking entire dinners because I can like make it so quick now. The thing for me at least is cooking sometimes just takes so long and then it's gone so quick.
Yeah. I mean that's big part of it for me.
But it just seems that way for the people that don't understand the actual joy of cooking, which I do not.
I mean, cooking is interesting to me, but at the same time, it's just like it's just too time consuming with everything else I want to do. If there was nothing else that I wanted to do in life, then I would probably like cooking.
Yeah, maybe you should get an Instapot and try it.
Maybe so. Well, it's just called Instant Pot or Instapot?
Instapot. Instapot.
Is it one word?
Yeah, frozen chicken in the Instant Pot is so easy, it's brainless, is what Narunetto is saying. That's true. You can make so much stuff in it.
I mean,
fried mac and cheese in Instant Pot is absolutely amazing. See, we made some pork meatballs yesterday, and they were basically the best meatballs I've ever had.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. Maybe they might be like, it's over a. It's got to be more than $100.
So you were not responsible for the gift.
No. My wife's parents. We got a $10 donation from Mitch B, who says, inspired by Tri's NGC Con Patreon video, I tried to revive my favorite third-party controller, the Nyko Airflow.
Oh.
A Dremel and new sticks. Nothing beats flying Vice's airship with the fan on. It felt like the wind on my hand.
The wind on my hand.
You are the wind on my hand. Well, thank you. And now I like the airflow is something that I am aware of that I love to try something.
Some people are big into it.
The anti-sweat controller.
I always assumed it would be noisy.
Yeah, that's why you gotta put there's a mod for them where you can put Noctua fans in them. And they're completely silent. Is this the Superman 64 expansion?
Man, there was a guy from my old work, this computer I built for his office. He was like the fan is super noisy. Like, what can I do about it? And I linked him to the fan. I told him exactly how to remove it and replace it. Linked him to the Noctua fan. And I was like, these are super quiet, you know, it's super easy to replace. And like, I didn't hear back from him, so I just assumed he did it. And then I saw him when I was shooting there freelance a couple weeks ago. He's like, man, I gotta get you over here to replace that fan. Every time someone comes to my office, they're like, wow, nice computer, but it sounds like a jet engine. And I'm like, I told you how to fix it. It's so easy. Oh, looks like the way is open.
I want to put, apparently there's a fan you can get, like a quiet fan for the Dreamcast as well, which is something I'm interested in.
The Dreamcast is very loud. It would be easier to go this way. Ooh, that's 1,000. That's probably tough. This might be the longer but easier way.
Oh, so it is a Noctua fan that you can put in the Dreamcast, but you got to get like a 3D printed piece for it, right? I think.
Oh, so you buy like a stock Noctua, like a small stock Noctua fan?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Does it use a standard? Does the Dreamcast use a standard connector internally?
I think so. I'm not sure. The fan and the disk drive give the Dreamcast character, but I already have a GDMU in it. So it doesn't even have the disk drive, which is very loud as well. If I've gone all the way there, I might as well just...
Oh,
and that VMU beep. Only if you have one with a screen. Mine doesn't have a screen.
The VMU beep, like, really threw me off at first. Like, when I got my Dreamcast. Because it's like, it doesn't sound like it's coming from the VMU.
Well, it's an easy battery to replace. But I have one of the official 4X sized. For those that are still interested in the Dreamcast HDMI, there is a recent firmware that adds 4X scaling to 240p games with 240p modes, which is actually awesome. Kind of talked about that in the video log I did for Patreon, where I showed like the menu and stuff. And apparently Christoph, who designs the firmware, saw it and he was like, he added it after he saw that video talking about how I wish that I said for 240p games I would probably still use the OSSC. He's like, I'm gonna put this feature to
go fix that statement.
Yeah. What is the best place to buy a PlayStation 1 lens laser replacement kit? So this is something that I kind of want to do as well. I have not, but I've heard that this is the place to get them, is that there's a website called Total Console that has replacement laser fixtures for PS1 and just for all the PS1 versions. And they are official, like they're Sony made ones.
Really?
They're $60.
See, I've always worried because I mean, there's like cheap, really inexpensive ones out there.
Right, and they claim that they have real ones. I have not bought one. I kind of want to just get one for the for that first generation one that I have, like the RCA. One, but there it is like $60, so I've kind of held off on it. But as far as I know, let me look.
I mean, it's different lasers depending on the board, right?
No, they all use the same one. It's the KSM 440 BAM laser lens. For Sony PS1, PlayStation 1, brand new.
Really?
So it's brand new original Sony replacement for your PlayStation console. A flex cable is included to make it work on all PlayStation models, PSX, PlayStation 1, PS1. Original Sony OEM component guarantees top quality performance.
I mean, if those claims are true, that could be cool.
I know, so I'm kind of tempted to order one. They're not black, it's like gray, like the ones that go on the PS1s.
Wait, is this PS1 or PS2 laser we're talking about?
PS1.
Sandy's just laying here barking at this ball bouncing around. That kind of strange thing.
Yeah, even though I want to get a PSIO, you're having a PSIO installed.
It is installed. I just need to pick it up.
Did you even know it was shipping?
I did.
Did it show up? Oh, okay. Right, if it's gray, it's a PS1 laser, but they use the same one. There's actually a video of somebody installing it in a and our original PlayStation.
I need to do a new laser for my PSX.
Like the actual PSX. Like the Japanese PSX, right?
Yeah. That one of our supporters sent me.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
It does need it's got a little damage to the body that
just happened from shipping, right?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but look, there's Gavin watches.
Travis, right there. The early model PS1 lasers won't work on the later models due to the ribbon cables being in a different location. But I think this says it comes with a flex cable that is longer and will work on both units.
Okay.
Try as a PSX? When? You got that during the summer, maybe?
Oh, no. I got it this time last year.
Oh, okay. I mean, you haven't really used it.
Well, it powers on.
Right.
But that's all I've been able to do with it, because I don't know how to open it, and there's very little information online.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy, I can't play this game with you on my lap. Maybe if it wasn't a motion control game. Or, I mean, it cannot be a motion control game, but I don't like playing it without motion controls. Sandy.
But the reason I'm looking into this now, I had a PS1 previously, but I think my GPU on my PS1 is dying.
Oh,
I started
getting
all this weird stuff. I can't use it anymore. What did my kids get for Christmas? My son got a lot of dinosaurs. and a Transformer. He got Heatwave from Transformers Rescue Bots.
Is that like a
that's
current
like a
Transformer thing?
Yeah, it's not great. But he really likes it. And Heatwave is his favorite. We got him Heatwave. My daughter just like got some LOLs. Although I did get her Yoshi and Poochie's Woolly World on the 3DS.
Excuse me, I'm pretty sure it's Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World.
It is. It is. Because that was on clearance. I had a mega score. John and I both had like a mega score when we were out going to Target, like the day you got here, like a couple days before Christmas Eve. I got a ton of games for real cheap.
Well, tell the class what like,
I tweeted about the Shenmue.
Got a lot of retweets too.
It did. I mean, it was just it's the Xbox version, which I guess is the better version. I've heard it's the better version. It was $8.95. But I also got. Well, I'm gonna go. I'll go get them. They're all Xbox. Oh, we got a $1.99 donation from Green Star Studios. It says this guy is awesome. Sub to him, guy. Talking about Green Star Studios. I don't know. Damn. All right. So, as I said, I got Shenmue was $8.98.
You got a copy for me, too.
Yes. For $5.98, I got Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn.
All Xbox One versions, right?
Yeah. John got the PS4 version. They only had one. For $8.98, I got the Xbox One version of L.A. Noire. I have the complete edition on the PS3, but it's got 4K, and it's worth. I'm in this game, so I felt like it's okay to get. Yeah, it's part of the local population. For $8.98, I got Sonic Forces. Because why not? And finally, for $8.98, I also got BioShock the Collection.
I kind of want that.
You should go and check to see if your local Target has it.
My Target never has as good a clearance stuff.
You should look. You should check it out. Though. You might need. I think that they all go on clearance at all of them at the same time. But I mean, this is three games. And I heard that if you play it on an Xbox One X, it gets rid of the frame rate issues.
Right. I mean, the problem with BioShock Collection, I mean, I think the Infinite is basically just a straight port, but they kind of changed the textures of the first two games. And
right.
I feel like they don't look as good.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I have the collection. Oh, I have one, and I have all of them on the 360 as well.
I do too.
But yeah, I mean, with everything together, it was like $60. Or I feel like that's worth it.
How much?
Even like $60 total.
Some of that $60 was Shaq Fu.
Yeah, only $6 of that was Shaq Fu. The good thing about having a birthday and Christmas together is, I get like a lot of gift cards and stuff for both. So I was gonna buy a PS4 Pro, and instead I decided to get a ultra wide monitor for my computer.
Oh, did you buy it yet?
Yeah, I ordered it. I got something a little bit more expensive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which one did you get?
I got the LG that is has 1440. It's like 0.5, 16 by 1440.
It's 1440 vertical?
Yes.
So, do you have it?
And it's curved.
Oh, and you wanted curved.
Yeah, well, John talked me into it. He's like, that's the one you want.
Really? I would have said absolutely not to her.
I mean, I at one point would think that, but I was reading a lot of stuff about how the curves on those things, if it's not like your main TV, a curve is much better on a computer monitor.
I mean, because you're right up at it, I could see it because of what I could understand about is like the viewing angle is consistent. If you're right up at it, but yeah. It would still drive me nuts, I think, because
well,
like,
I guess we'll see what happens.
Rectangles wouldn't be rectangles.
But I guess it's a lot more subtle than some of the other ones, but I guess we're going to see. And, I decided that it should fit in on my dual mount. Even though it's I got 30, it's a 34 inch. Is yours 34 or 29?
I forgot. 30, it don't look 34 to me.
Well, this one's 34. I mean, John has a 38.
So he has a 38 ultra wide curve.
He has a 38 version of the one that I just bought.
And you got what?
20. I got a 34.
I thought you just say he has the 34 version of what you got.
Oh, he has the 38 version.
Oh, 38. That's pretty huge. Yes. For a modder, that's huge.
Yeah, I think 34 is going to be huge too. But I'm going to take my right monitor and I'm going to turn it into portrait mode.
Ah.
To the side. He says it's really good for like websites.
I can see that.
But he talked me into the 1440p one because, you know, he's saying it's nice, especially when editing, because you can fit so much in that screen real estate. And the 1080 is just wider from what I'm used to. But this gives me even more space.
I mean, I thought about getting something that had more vertical space, but the reason I went with the one that I did is because I gain space horizontally. I don't gain space vertically, but since I'm also using my old 1080p Samsung on the side,
mm-hmm.
that means that the vertical is 1080 for both. So I don't have to, I can seamlessly move my mouse between them. There's never going to be like a ledge that the mouse hits and I have to like move it over. Like it's seamless flowing between.
And that makes sense. I mean, I have a 1080p monitor that's like right above my my 14L5 mm-hmm. PVM. So that's not even a straight go across anyways. It's up to the corner, basically, if I wanted it to be. So I can't even achieve that. Even if I wanted to. And I'm really going to gain space because of the increased resolution, but also because I don't have to worry about like the bezel of each monitor separating them. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have that gap in mm-hmm. the image. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't know what to expect. I'm excited about it. I was reading all this stuff saying it increased their productivity a lot. So
I'm really happy with the Premiere layout that I've got now.
Yeah. And I was using two screens, but I just felt like just getting a 1080 vertical, I wouldn't really be gaining any. Having my two monitors.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't. The way you do it, no. You wouldn't have.
But like this way, at least I'm gaining some.
Yeah. You know, it was.
Yeah, it is a 30. It's a 3440 by 40.
It was when we were hanging out with Stee. And ended up in Costco for whatever reason. I think the seed was planted of you kind of wanting an ultra wide monitor.
Yeah, this is the. It's a 3440 by 1440 21x9 PS monitor. And I was kind of I've been getting increasingly more annoyed between the two main monitors that I have. They're the exact make and model, but there is a difference in color temperature in them, and it annoys me.
I need to
even though they have the exact same settings.
Oh no. I need to do some calibration on mine, because I feel that the Y balance is a little too warm.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
But I'm excited. Yeah, it's. When it's all said and done, I only have to put like $150 of my own money in. So it's worth it. There will be an RGB 200 episode at some point in the future. Right now, the priorities are Wii and Dreamcast.
I'm hoping to do Wii, like.
Retro RGB is going to have a pretty good Dreamcast video coming out pretty soon. I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out, but it is. Maybe in the next couple weeks, I'm guessing. Yes, we do have an episode coming tomorrow. I mean, as long as I should be able to wrap it up tonight to upload. It's just the games that we played in 2018.
Not 2018 games, but...
Yeah, it's not all games from this year, but if you saw our video from last year... Well, I mean, there's several, but yeah, it mostly is not.
I feel like you might have played more 2018 games than I did.
Maybe. I mean, it's going to be a very casual episode, but it's somehow almost double the length of the one that we released last year. I got to stop doing it. But I mean, I think we're going to try to wrap up right on time tonight. We got about 5 or 10 more minutes remaining, just so you know. Just because I want to get to work on that and finish it so that it's ready for tomorrow and I'm not up super late tonight working on it. It doesn't have a ton left.
Yeah, I need to do a little bit to finish up my last segment too. I think I'm almost about to finish the expansion actually, but we should probably still stop after this level, because I don't know what kind of ending or if there's a final boss fight or anything, or you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait through any.
I mean, depending on
what
our situation is, maybe we'll do some sort of bonus stream. No, you're dang, if there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, if we feel like it.
But who knows? Maybe we should make it a yearly tradition of playing Zombie Revenge. The Bullets is officially 1 year old. Bullets.
Oh, man, how am I supposed to lock it fast enough?
PC Engine and TurboGrafx-16 is... It might happen this year. We did not have a 200 level episode this year, and we're really gonna make up for it.
I definitely feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah,
but I feel like a lot of the episodes we did were worthwhile in their own way. Other trick to that one, is there? Almost.
Michael Jackson's arcade games. I was very surprised. We went to the 16-bit bar on my birthday. And they had the Michael Jackson Moonwalker arcade machine.
Oh yeah, I saw that there.
Yeah, it's 16-bit. That was the only time.
Well, the night that I went with Joey and his wife to get fried chicken.
Oh, did you go to 16-bit then that night?
I don't. know if that was the one or not, but whichever one we stopped by. I mean, we just walked in and just looked at what machines they had. We only stayed there a couple minutes, but if that was the one, they did have the Michael Jackson game. Because I remembered it because that was right after you, oh no. That was right after you had, streamed it. So it was kind of on my mind. At least I think that was right after you streamed it.
Any experience with external switchers, BNC stuff, all stuff I know is it's external switchers, BNC SCART, but some people say there are advantages we had with external switches. Well, the main benefit with external switches is the fact that they have so many inputs and outputs relative to price.
Right, and
the cables are usually more expensive.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that we unfortunately did not know about when we did that episode is that most Extron switchers output like a high sync level,
like a TTL sync,
correct? That high voltage cable. You technically should attenuate it if you're connecting to like OSSC or FrameMeister. You know, if you're going to a PVM, it's fine.
Yeah. We're crazy emulation never more. I don't know. But we had comment this morning. We didn't. Did we talk about that?
Briefly, I was going to respond to it, and then you did.
Yeah.
You wrote a more detailed response than I was going to.
Well, that's the first thing I read when I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. He was basically refuting the thing that we say in that episode where it's like having access to every game available just makes it really hard to commit to any one game. And I couldn't tell you how many people just nod their head and go, oh yeah, whenever we say something like that. And this guy's like this thing you're saying does not exist. That is not true. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's just completely idiotic, stupid thing you're saying. And I'm like,
do not push this stupid opinion upon your viewers.
Yeah, yeah.
but he misunderstood what we were saying.
Well,
he thought we were saying something about just like playing anything that's emulated at all. But what you say is something you learn from emulation, just like having every game available to you makes it so that you don't really put the time or effort into a game. Like if you buy something, you're more likely to say, okay, I'm going to
commit to it.
I'm going to play through it.
Yeah.
It was on the console EverDrives episode. It was from this morning, but he misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah. But I think he still might've, you know, had a similar issue with that, but yeah, I mean, it's like, well, also here's the other thing. Not everyone has to, I mean, if you can commit to a game when you have access to every game, then good for you. You're a stronger person than me. But
he was very angry. He says, I'm absolutely infuriated by your fallacious and moronic claim that using emulation makes it hard to commit to anything. Which is what he says. I finished games on SD that I've never finished on disc. See, that's why he's like mistaken.
So, I mean, it's...
Don't push this stupid belief upon your viewer.
It's like...
It's just not a thing, and the success of online-only digital games proves that.
What? I mean, a lot of other people feel that same way. You know, so whatever. Not everyone has to feel the same way about things. Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
Yeah, but it just say it makes it easier to commit when games are easier to access.
I mean,
that's just common sense. You're being way too nostalgic and putting way too much value into the cartridge.
I mean,
you can say this so you can fool yourself into thinking cartridge is better.
I mean, I never said one was better, one was worse. I was just explaining my point of view, how I
feel about it.
I don't have a problem with how anyone does that.
But he was saying, his whole thing is he thought it was just, you were saying it was bad if games are digital, period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once this episode's done, one of the things I want to do is set up my Famicom Everdrive I just got, so.
Yeah. But it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just, we're saying when you have every game and a big list available to you, it's much more rare to commit to a game, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just because I think a lot of people will look at that list and play something, and they'll play until they die once, and like, oh, I'm bored, something else.
Yep. That's what I do, and you've experienced that. Lots of other people that we've talked to about that very idea say that. So, I mean, that, yes, it is a thing. And this guy who apparently can commit to a game, even in spite of that, I mean, good on you. I can't do that. But I mean, what does he think that me spouting that viewpoint is going to make other people think, oh gosh, gee, well, then I'm just not going to try emulating. I mean, come on, everyone's tried emulating.
People know
for themselves whether or not that is a thing that will bother them or not. If it doesn't bother you, then that's great. That's great.
Yeah, physically it gives you a few extras, but even if I'm buying like a game on Steam, or if I'm buying something on PSN, like I am more likely to play that than I would be if I just got it for free bunch of games for free.
I mean, physical just gives you a few extra steps to make you rethink giving up on a game. I mean, yeah, I mean, that is absolutely true. I mean, in part because of the money you spend on it. And two, just, you know, having to take it out. I mean, it is an inconvenience in a way, but I feel it is a good inconvenience.
Yeah. And Austin, the RPG Nut, is right. It's like sometimes for some people, emulation is the only option. And I think that's totally fine. We have no issues.
No,
with it.
That's
absolutely. It has everything to do with,
don't get me wrong, it is important because it is the number one way that most old games remain in the public consciousness, and that's very important. At the same time, people like us who like to show it right on original hardware, who like to show the actual cartridge when we can, that side of it is also important. Fewer people may have access to that hardware, fewer people may have access to those cartridges, but showing this physical real item that existed and was sold is part of that game's history and story, and we want to show that side of those games. But that is not how people have to play them, but we want to show them in our videos so you can see what this was or what it is, you know?
Right. Mitch B in the chat says it the best. So scrolling through a list of ROMs help you find what you like, but if you own it, you feel more inclined to try again instead of pushing a button to get back to the list.
Very, very true. Very true. Which, and you've sort of started to organize your EverDrive sort of through layers in a sense that almost discourages you from abusing it, in a sense.
Well, kind of. I mean, I just made a separate directory that's like the games that I've bought,
mm-hmm.
that I own on various platforms. You know, I have like my Genesis one has the things that I've bought on Virtual Console, and it also has like the cartridges that I have in the other room, and it has I don't know, just like the Japanese games that I have. Like that, it's nice to have it all like separated out there, and I can go into like my folder says Corey's collection, and that's everything that I know that I have in the other room, separated out from just a big list with a 1,000 games in it.
Hmm.
That just helps me stay focused, I think. But...
All right. Well, I mean, I wish we could have blabbered on, but we've got to get this episode done. I'm ready to be done with it. And just enjoy tomorrow. So.
Yep. I think so too. So look for that. Hopefully it'll be early in the day. I mean, depends on how fast I get done with stuff tonight.
Yeah.
So let's do that. All thanks right. for everyone who for came and hung out, and I hope everyone has a happy new year.
Indeed.
Pushing on to our sixth year of existence.
Wow.
And who knows, maybe we'll, depending on what tomorrow's like, maybe it'll be a bonus stream. I don't know. I'm not gonna say it's for sure, but you never know.
All right, good night.
All right, good night, everybody.